sometimes the dog didn't have, you know, it turned his water bucket over in the scalding heat. Or it looked like he might have got wrapped around the tree. So you'd call animal control in Newberry County, and they'd say, yeah, we know the dog. So they knew the dog, and they knew the situation. Well, now the dog doesn't even have the tree. He's just chained to a stump. So he has no shade when it is hot weather or even beating down sun. It can get hot in the sun. Not today, maybe, but, you know, even in the wintertime. So my brother called up. He's a Newberry County resident. Called up Newberry County Animal Control and said, go get the dog. The dog is laying in the mud. It has a house now. It's about the size of a Cocker Spaniel. It's a Rottweiler. Do something. So he does a follow-up call Wednesday, and they don't want to tell him anything. They won't tell him if they went out and got the dog. They won't tell him other than they dispatched. And just kind of real mealy-mouthed, not being responsive. So this gets my hackle up. I'm no PETA, far from it. I'm no ASPCA. But I do believe that, you know, basic care at minimum for your critters. So I call. I get the mealy mouth. I get the, I didn't go out there myself. I can't tell you. So I decided enough is enough. They never offered to speak to a supervisor. They didn't tell me who might have went out. Just really passive-aggressive, uncooperative. So I called the local media, the NBC affiliate in Columbia, WISTV10. I let it drop. Talked to a fellow named Brent, last name I don't know. He's very interested. I give him the number for animal control in Newberry. I check back with him. Actually, he calls me back. He gets the same response. Mealy mouth, no answers, just kind of blowing him off. He starts looking into some stuff. I call a couple of private animal rescue folks to try to get a definition of the law. Wednesday afternoon, I get a call back from Lexington County. Now, they're obviously not Newberry County, but they told me, said, probably animal control in Newberry can enforce ordinances, but under state law, the constable or the sheriff of the county, under Sheriff Lee Foster, can go out because this impending weather at the time is considered an emergency. And if it's an emergency for people, it's also for pets. Well, the dog was back out there today when it's 20 degrees. And I know how cold it was because I had to go work on the car, put some more, actually I had to replace the overflow tank, your burp tank is what it's called, for your radiator. So I know how cold it was. I let it drop. Three coats on and a pair of gloves. Well, the dog's just laying there. And like I said, it doesn't even have shade anymore. And the ground's wet, so the dog's laying in the still muddy ground. I call back tonight to actually talk to WIS Television. They're trying to get a response from somebody. Foster didn't call them back, Sheriff Foster. And I responded. So I called tonight and got the Newberry County Emergency Dispatch. Got an officer, and listen, I support our police officers. I do all that. But this guy did have an attitude. And he said, well, you just, I can't do anything. If the dog's got a house, I can't tell him it's a tiny house or it's a big house. He's got a house. And if he's got food and water, and, I'm not going to go out there and wake somebody up. So I have to speak to a supervisor. I get hung up on. But a supervisor does call me back. And I told him the basic description, you know, it's hard, 55-mile-an-hour zone. It's not like you can slow down and, you know, take out a pen and paper and stop in the middle of the road there. Well, guess who they send out? The guy who didn't want to, that's who called me back, the guy who didn't want to go out in the first place. And the call consisted of, I went out in the area and I didn't see no dog. Have a good night. Click. I let it drop. Well, this thing has been going on for years with this dog. And Newberry County, for some reason, does not want to enforce basic state laws. And you would think they would have went ahead and picked up the dog. But I called back WIS Television, and they said, it sounds like we're going to have to do one of those freedom of information things and then just have a prayer that this dog survives 11 degrees. You know, it probably went behind something if they didn't actually bring it in, and we've never seen them bring it in. Rain, shine, storm, wind, whatever. I know what really ticked me off with that call, though, is when the deputy said, and you want me to go out there just for a dog. I'll pause. This is what law enforcement in Newberry told me. So, how's Robert going to wind up in trouble? They're wanting to ask all kind of questions. Who am I? You know, kind of like, what authority are you? Well, I'm somebody that earned a last name when I was in the radio business. I was Robert the Rage. And he got me thrown in jail one time for over an animal issue about 16 years ago. All the charges were dropped. But we had a very, very similar situation in the city of Columbia. They offered to have it, if I paid them money, to have it purged for my record, my arrest. But I never did. First, I wasn't going to give them the money. And second, you know, not to be too proud, whatever. It's kind of like a badge of honor in a reverse kind of way. So my idea to you tonight is, we got a long way to go in South Carolina and a lot of areas. When law enforcement won't do their job per state law, then sometimes we have to do the old adage, they won't respond to persuasion, we're going to have to use pressure. So hopefully with this television station and my little effort, we can get some, if this dog doesn't survive, then maybe we can do something for other animals and people who are in this kind of condition, but our tax-supported organizations that are only there for, you know, 40 hours and a paycheck, start doing at least their minimum. So that's pretty much me tonight. I've preached enough. Hopefully I haven't turned any of you off on my diatribe, but that's kind of what I'm passionate about. You don't have to have boutique dogs. You don't have to be like Jim and Tammy Baker with an air-conditioned doghouse. But come on. It's going to be 11 degrees, and you don't even have a crate for the dog to get into. That's my rant for the night. So Robert the Rage will be saying, KD4SRR, back to you, Net Control.
Well, thanks for bringing that to the net. And it is kind of a good reminder, too. I do agree with you about the whole animal thing. Like, a lot of people would consider their animals, you know, more like family members than like pets. It's a live creature that you have taken under your control. It cannot go out and fend for itself. It cannot go and find a shelter because you have parameters set for it. Either it's got some sort of a chain that it's on, or a cable, or an invisible fence, or an actual fence that it can't go outside of. You have it on your property, it cannot go hunt on its own, it can't go find its own shelter. So you need to be providing its food, and you need to be providing its shelter. I definitely agree with that 100%. And I don't think it's right. You wouldn't want to be chained up outside with no house at 11 degrees. The dog doesn't either. All creatures need food and shelter for their survival. Wild animals can go find it, but a dog chained up in the yard does not have that ability, so it's got to be provided for it. Otherwise, it's not fair. That's inhumane. I definitely agree about that, and I wish more people would actually see that. There's just a handful of people out there. Most people, you know, this is, I'd say it's kind of fundamentals of humanity. Most people have it built into their nature to understand that from their core. So you've got this small percentage out here that doesn't really care. Always just the animal, it's not a person. Those people are also the kind of people that don't treat other people with any kind of decency. There's no respect at all, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day. And I think all of us would know someone like that, at least one person that we've come across in our lives. But it really isn't fair, and I do wish that, like you said, law enforcement would step up a little bit and do their part in it. A lot of times they're like, oh, you know, but it's because it's not going to get them any tax dollars in their system, basically. Well, not tax dollars, but they're not going to be making money off of that like they do off of, like, a CDV charge or something else like that. It's not a high-dollar offense, so since they're not going to profit from it very much, they don't really care very much. They're there to collect their paycheck, and that's about it. So, yeah, I agree with you. Something needs to be done, but sometimes it's very difficult to get them to do their job. KD4SR, KJ4WZM.
Roger that, network control, KD4SRR here. And where I'm really going to have to step in it, and I can't let it go. So you may see me in the mugshot for some cooked up thing. But you're talking about a sheriff and the officials of Newberry County, in this case, committing dereliction of duty. They're not going to listen to Robert, but maybe enough people do. Then folks like Lee Foster could be technically removed from office by the governor. That is a definite and prosecuted for dereliction of duty. But, you know, South Carolina doesn't want to make any trouble. You know, they don't want to do that. Certainly, we talk about folks that want to come in here and micromanage like everybody, like HOA, in every minute of their night. We don't want to go that route. But when it comes to basic, I mean, the animal control knew the location without even mentioning the address. And when the first call came, when the dog still had a tree. And let's emphasize it, the dog has no shade. And he's a black and tan dog. And just to have an attitude that this deputy had, well, I can't, you know, he got a house. I can't tell whether it's too little or too big. He's got a house, and I can't make the people bring them indoors. And he particularly didn't like it. And I said, well, you're not supposed to make them bring it indoors. You're supposed to call animal control and have them come out there with you and pick up the dog. And I said, I don't know. You know, Lexington County took the time to call me, and it's not even their territory. But they read me the laws. So now, you know, it's going to be me, and hopefully a television station, and hopefully some more people against a sheriff, a sitting sheriff. And I'm pretty sure Lee Foster's been there a long time, and there's, you know, he's got a smiley face for the TV. But, you know, you get into other stuff, you start rocking the boat, you better be prepared to turn it over. Because they're not going to forget you. And it's not going to be, you know, small town is not just Hollywood. They can be vindictive. I will give Don Reynolds up here in Lawrence County. I'll let it drop for a second. The previous sheriff was too busy and being an entertainer, literally putting on wrestling shows and Christmas parties and Halloween haunts and all that. But, we had a lot of crime, a lot of missing weapons in Lawrence County. Sheriff Don Reynolds was primarily highway patrol, but he had a sense of right and wrong, and one of the first things he did was straighten out the inventory, chase down a lot of this missing evidence. And then the second is to go after these animal abuse and neglect things. He really took that on. And now he has, you know, sworn officers that are now the animal control people. And, you know, they're not going out there and persecuting somebody, you know, because they don't have a boutique. But they're, again, looking for the basics. So, you know, kudos to him. And I guess Newberry is just one of those counties that, you know, we know what's best, but we'll see. Anyway, enough of me. And again, I'm not Peter. I'm not ASPCA. I don't go overboard like they do. But, you know, you mentioned animals. You know, I will say this. Chickens were out today just having a good old time, but they had a warm place to get into. A friend of mine's got goats. Goats are just jumping in that temperature. But they knew they had a warm house and hay and everything to go into. This dog, as you mentioned, he can't go nowhere. He has to lay in the cold, in the mud, in 11 or less degrees temperature. I know we pray for people. Let's pray for the, you know, let's say a little prayer for that dog tonight. This is KD4SRR wishing you all well. I'll be clear.
WD8RON. Size with the dog and our ranger here. I've been in somewhat of a position, not with the dog, but something else going on up here in the county. And we're dealing with the road and a bridge, which was causing problems. I went to the county commissioner in North Carolina. The Department of Transportation is responsive to no one, essentially. They're all state roads. The counties have no authority over the Department of Transportation. I don't know what it is in South Carolina. A lawyer a long time ago, when I was involved in something as a landlord, said there are three ways of dealing with something. One, you wave money at them to make a tenant leave. The other is the legal aspects, which you never know what's going to happen. But another one is publicity. And in this case, it sounds like publicity. Talking to the county commissioners, maybe they don't really have authority over the sheriff. The sheriff is an elected official and is one of the key people in the county. In most of the states, I think it's probably the same way in South Carolina. But he's elected, so he is very much aware of publicity. And Facebook is one way of getting around something here. Where I am, and I'll break, there's a lot of sub-programs for the county with different parts of it, so there may be something there. And the other way is you probably have private adoption agencies like we have here in the county in Transylvania, and those people might respond to the publicity. So enough publicity going will make the sheriff listen. You might want to try that. Over.
SRR. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, they don't respond to persuasion. They respond to pressure. And, you know, Newberry gets very paranoid. I will say this. If you really catch them at something, they take the victimhood. It could be egregious. But, you know, they're not alone. I remember Fairfield County. Winsboro had a horrific shelter. But publicity and, before, you know, they didn't have enough pull. They're a very poor county, so you can give them a little bit of slack, but not a lot when it comes to just stacking animals in cages. And it was egregious. A private individual or rescue would have been put in jail, key thrown away. But, you know, pressure. And I remember there was a time in Anderson County, many, many, many years ago, there were groups that were after them for years, and they had to work with very little laws. There was no real regulations. But now Anderson, especially Anderson Paul's, is one of the best organizations, and they help all the counties out that are in the vicinity with spay, neuter, or just taking, they'll find room. If you get a rescue, I know a lot of them had like a 20 dog or 50 dog or something like that situation. The people just got overwhelmed, but they never called for help. Somebody called in on them. The dogs were confiscated. Anderson took them. But, you know, you're talking about a long-sitting sheriff, and he makes a lot of big collars. You know, he's kind of like the for media, he's kind of like the Buford Pusser, you know, walking tall on the big stuff. So a lot of people say don't sweat the little stuff. But it's clearly obvious that his lazy deputy didn't want to go out in the cold. So, you know, he had zero empathy. And when he actually did say, yeah, all this over a dog, you know, you can't help but feel a little bit of contempt for that attitude. I mean, go out there. Who knows what you might find? You might find a motorist stalled. Go out there and flash them. You know, turn around the road. You got the location. You got the description of the house. Flash the light back over there. I guarantee you, from the time he was dispatched and got back, he didn't spend 30 seconds there. But I go on, you know. Maybe, you know, I was talking down on PETA, but, you know, they've not been above taking a bunch of gals and bum rushing somebody and literally going on private property and taking a dog and then shaming, you know, the public facilities. I don't like calling them in, but, you know, it might take something crazy radical like that to put the spotlight on what they need to do. And Newberry used to not be this way. They were very good. Now they've just got a bad attitude. Whether you go by their pound or you call them up, it's just, I don't know, we just call it drippy attitude at best. So you're right, and that's probably what we'll do. Well, enough on this, but if anybody else would like to comment or say something, you know, just don't say, don't tell the rage, oh, it's just a dog. No, don't go there.
Well, and the publicity is one big, and the other thing is there are national groups who sometimes like to get involved in things like this, and I've found sometimes having Big Brother take action and speaking for you, but maybe not with your name, can sometimes have pretty big impacts. And to the right people, when they're looking for a story as a fill, this might be one. Over.
And you know, there's a few national corporations in Newberry that are large employers, like Lewis Rich. Of course, they're a processing plant, so you know they may. A lot of people don't like the food processing industry. I think it's necessary, but it still should. Samsung builds virtually all their wash machines in Newberry. Kisswire is a major Korean outfit that moved in and builds all their top loader wash machines here, and now starting to do the front loaders. Kubota Tractors is another one, a big supplier to cities, municipalities. And then you've got Pioneer Foods in Newberry County, which supplies a huge amount of MREs to the military. So you got some of these corporations, and no, I'm not going to do like the wokes, but hey, you know, if you have to tweak a few things, and you're right about the national organizations. Now, I will criticize PETA like this. They've got a thing that they want to come in, and they always do outrageous stuff, and it kind of hurts them really bad. But they wanted to make it illegal to tie your horse to a hitching post where you put a saddle up. I don't see me chasing a horse around with a saddle, because it's playing. And it's some ludicrous things like that. But they have been known to go in and do a little commando action, no violence, but just go in there and with the power of feminist rage or some guys, but it's mostly women that are in PETA. You know, they people back down. So, but that's another option. But it looks like I'm going to have to kick it up a notch, but be prepared that somebody from Newberry will be up here and be trying to find out who I am and, try to make it rough on me in some way. You know, if you've got to leap out of, you know, some ordinance to teach it, to see how you feel. And that's, like I said, going to jail. was quite an experience, which lasted no time and the charges were dropped, but they wanted to shake me up. And it did shake me up, but boy, you know, I was moving out of Columbia at the time anyway, but at least, you know, there was some good that came out of it. And some things got changed, but, you know, you get older, you don't really want to be the whipping boy, you know, stick your neck out as much, but sometimes you got to. Back to you, Network Control, and the caller.
I appreciate it, and I hope that you're able to get that whole thing with the dog situated. I hate they're giving you the runaround like that, but hopefully after some publicity, they'll change their tune a little bit, and even if they drag their feet kicking the screen, hopefully that dog will get some better care. But I'll go ahead and close out the note this time. Let's see here. I'm about to file my net report. If y'all give me 1 second, I'll look at that. 57 check-ins, 2 pieces of traffic.
Hey, with Newberry is the Newberry Opera House, and they still have national touring acts. A lot of performers don't like to perform at places that don't do well like that on social issues. So that's another thing, too, is to get the word out to the entertainment community. As aggravating and disgusting as they can be on other subjects, that's a good possibility. You would hurt a lot of pride if ACT started counseling at the Newberry Opera House. Enough of me. KD4SRR, back to you. Thanks for the leniency tonight and the much gratitude.
Netport now. And no problem. I hope that dog gets better care. I hope everything gets resolved soon. And hopefully they leave you alone and don't harass you too badly. I'm sure they'll be there, but hopefully everything will turn out all right. KD4SRR and WDARON, KJ4WZM. I'm working on my net report. I'll type that in momentarily. WZM now securing the Blue Ridge 2 meter net with our thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal imagery. 73s, Merry Christmas, and good night.
4BLH, KO4NUE. BLH, KO4NUE. NUE, no contact, I'm clear.
NUE, KK4JBQ.
KQ, KO4NUE. Hey, Larry, how are you, sir?
Pusty. And, well, thankful for it.
My feet are cold, but this 70 amp amplifier ain't cutting it tonight.
For that, I found this because sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes my feet get out of under the covers at night, so I wear hunting socks. They're big woolen, oversized socks, and I tell you, if my feet are cold, I can't get to sleep, so I wear those to bed, and I haven't had a problem there since then.
I don't know, Larry. I'm kind of particular about my feet. Anything goes wrong with them, and I mean anything, it just disrupts everything, and I can't hardly deal with it. You know, anything else doesn't bother me that bad, but my feet, I just can't do it. I have to take really good care of them and keep them kind of warm, or I just kind of shut down.
What I'm saying, it takes the hunting socks to keep my feet warm. And, well, that's just me. And maybe wool isn't, you know, something you can accommodate. But I don't find a problem with them. I've had these things since I was a kid. They were too big, way too big for me then. But I carried these things around. I can't tell you how long it's been. And they finally came in real handy. Real handy. Well, I trust that you and Anna have a quiet Christmas. coming up. You've had your parties and your gatherings, and I hope you two have a little home time planned.
No, not exactly. Let's see, her two brothers and their wives and their kids will be here. And my three kids, and me and Anna, and the two dogs, and Anna's older brother, he's got a blue tick, lives in Manhattan and got a blue tick, but her name's Bella, so he'll be bringing her, and she just kind of keeps everything upset, if you know what I mean.
It sounds like you're just the other side of the coin. And, you know, take your blessings wherever you find them, you know. And it is a blessing to have family around, a big one. And Donna and I can't enjoy that. Your life is different. I see them as just, you know, they're both big blessings in a sense, you know. If you listen to the net tonight, you know I've got some aunts that are real treasures for me. And this is the time of year when I make certain, because they're both in their late 80s. I just want to keep in contact with them. And a little bit of family goes a long way sometimes, you know.
I understand. Well, I'm trying to finish some last-minute goals for the club. My eyes are kind of cross-eyed. I need to take a break for a few minutes. But, been an interesting couple of days. We've been down in the shop with my son trying to figure out this welding job he's got. I think we've got things figured out, but boy, I'm gonna tell you, it's such a nightmare. I mean, we got it all figured out, but one piece, and we'll get on that after Christmas, I guess. But it's been interesting, though. I mean, me and him's got to spend some good time in the shop, and had a lot of teachable moments for me too. So it's been kind of fun. I'm tired though, but I figured I'd take the next couple of days and take care of some procedures for the club. I've been wanting to get that done, and I had it on my list to do before the new year was over. So the new year is upon me. So I think I've got most of it ironed out. I think
the new year right around the corner, it puts a different spin on ongoing things like responsibilities to the club. But all of us have the greatest faith in you. And you're an awfully good leader, and I trust that many of us are good followers. you can count on that. I had a question. I know it's probably a very simplistic question, but, you know, just consider where it's coming from. I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to welding. But I heard, I think, in other conversations we've had, that the metal he's using is special. And that in and of itself, does that offer a big challenge, that he's working with some exotic steels?
The issue is that it's food-grade stainless, which means, you know, it's may or may not directly be in contact with you know, something that's, you know, a human can consume. So there's some intricacies that come with that. 304 and 309 stainless are typically your food grade stainless. And then 316 and 312 are surgical grade. So obviously when you have something in contact with food, you can't have inclusions in the weld or the connection, because bacteria can grow. And that poses some major challenges. I mean major challenges. Because typically when you weld something, you want a good strong weld, and you get down in the material to get the weld. But with food grade, you have to seal that from the inside out. If you understand what I mean, trying to say here. Let me let the radio break. UE with KK4JBQ. So if you're trying to put two pieces of pipe together for mayonnaise to move through, let's say it's mayonnaise, you have to weld those two pieces of pipe together. You have to do that from the outside, which means you have to penetrate the metal from the outside all the way to the inside so that there's no inclusions or places for bacteria to grow. And then bring that weld through the metal to the outside, and it has to look pretty too. So no sugaring, which sugaring is an indication of too hot, too many inclusions. And it requires heat to do that. And when you put enough heat in the material to do that, then the material starts to warp. And these fixtures have to fit on a machine with some pretty tight tolerances. So you got all that going on, and those two types of stainless are notorious for moving when you put the heat to them. So we've got most of the fixture together, but it looks like a walking cane because it's just so much warp in it. So, but we've got it figured out. We kind of know what to do. It's just a few tricks to the trade that Dad came down and straightened us out with today. That's why I said a couple of teachable moments, because he taught me some things I never thought about either. But I'm going to tell you, that man is a treasure trove of information. Don't have to worry about Google. Just Google Johnny.
He brought a smile to my face. I suppose there's a different word for, maybe it's brazing. If you're using like metals, such as you are and such as I did with gold, does the word you use for it, does it depend on the how you bring the heat there, whether it's electrical or some kind of gas or an open flame? I don't know, I'm a little confused there.
So think of it as, he's TIGing. So think of it as a spark gap generator. That's all it is. It's a high frequency. You've got a lot of current passing through a pinpoint needle. Literally, a pinpoint about the size of the tungsten electrode looks like a ballpoint pen, but it's made out of tungsten, thoriated tungsten. So you're able to throw 100
200 amps out of that little bitty pinpoint, which gives you a controlled burn, basically. And then you inject a filler rod in that plasma stream, and you're melting actually three pieces of metal all in one swoop. But there's a procedure. You have to have the right amount of voltage, the right amount of current, and you're the right size rod. I mean, it's a lot of intricacies with it. I'm not a certified welder. That kind of stuff escapes me. But, you know, Dad and Perry, they get down there and speak in that language, and, you know, some of it goes over my head. But, I mean, I can bubblegum two pieces of metal together. But it's not procedural, if you know what I mean.
Smile to my face, bubblegum two pieces together. it gives you a picture in your mind of what that might look like. Well, gracious. And that's part of the fun, isn't it? It's got to be. Well, I don't want to hold you up, Chad. I just thought I couldn't pass up the opportunity to wish you and all of your collected family a very Merry Christmas. And, well, anyhow, get yourself some good rest, wool socks or not. And I hope to talk with you again real soon. This is KK4JBQ.
Do you need to go? Go ahead. Don't let me hold you up. But I'm, like I said, I need to take a break for a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you one other lesson I learned. But if you need to get on, I get it. And we'll talk later.
I got all the time in the world. There's nothing more pressing and nothing more enjoyable than sitting here and having a chat with you. So, what's that one other thing?
We've looked at the prints, and we've got all the pieces and parts, and they provide the parts. Excuse me. So they're machines the parts, and then they put them in little bags, and we basically assemble. Well, first thing I'd like to say is I don't know about their machining skills. Let me just say that. But it is what it is, and, you know, you're expected to do to deal with what you get. I get it. But, so dealing with pipe, if the pipe is stationary and you have to weld around it, now you think about that for a minute. If you have a 12-inch piece of pipe, and you're welding two pieces of pipe together, if you can't roll the pipe, then you have to be able to control that weld in a 360-degree circle. So when you're welding, you have a puddle. You're melting the metal, and it's a small puddle of molten metal. And that puddle reacts differently as you move around that circle. And it gets the most difficult on the bottom, because gravity wants to pull the puddle of metal away from the material. And it'll actually fall, you know. And that's where the skill is involved, being able to keep that puddle stationary. And we use a foot pedal to do that, basically a potentiometer on a gas pedal, so that you can increase or decrease the heat coming out of the plasma stream to keep that puddle in place. Well, anyway, decided that since it's, you know, 3/4-inch stainless pipe, we'll put it on a positioner or a rotating table with a three-jaw chuck on it, and we'll just clamp the pipe up and rotate the positioner so he can stay stationary and the pipe rotates. Makes things a whole lot easier, and it looks better to you. So I've gotten into Arduino, building some Arduino circuits here in the last couple of months, and I've learned to interface them with my radio, you know. So I built, got a stepper motor and a driver and machined, I don't know what you call it, a drive shaft to connect the stepper motor to the positioner. 10K potentiometer on it so that when he's welding, he can put the potentiometer on a foot pedal. So he can take his foot, and if he wants to speed the positioner or speed the rotation up, he can give it more gas. Or if he wants to slow it down, he can. You get what I'm saying here. I hope you do anyway. Well, it worked just fine. I mean, it was, you know, I was tickled to death. Hey, you know, got to learn a little bit about electronics and how to code, and Dave helped me a lot. And so I sent Dave a picture of it, and we was all tickled to death until you strike the first arc. Keeping in mind now, TIG is high frequency. So what do you think happened with all those little bitty wires on that microprocessor when he struck an arc on the high frequency machine?
Well, I can see a few possibilities. One would be, just, you know, spark and everything stops. That'd be my first guess.
So I called Dave and said, hey, you know, just want to let you know, Arduinos and stepper motors do not work together with high frequency machines. And we just kind of laughed for a minute. And Dave says, well, all those little wires that you've got coming out of the stepper motor into the Arduino, he said, all those are little bitty antennas. And spark gap generator, which is what it is, that's what a welding machine is. You've got all this RF that is just everywhere in the shop. You know, 200 amps of it. I don't know how many watts that is, but any kind of microprocessor, no. So, man, you know, that kind of puts it for a standstill, because, you know, if you can't rotate the part, then things just got a whole lot harder. And so I went down there early this morning and took a whole roll of tinfoil down there. Larry, you should have seen me. I had tinfoil, cutting it into strips, trying to wrap it around all those little bitty wires, and trying to shield the Arduino and shield the stepper. I mean, I messed with that for an hour trying to mess with it. And no luck. I mean, it just locks the stepper motor up. The control lights on the Arduino starts flashing. I mean, it just shut completely down. It'll run forward, and then it'll work just fine. And when he strikes arc, it'll run backwards. It'll speed up. It'll slow down. I mean, it does just old crazy stuff. And he kind of left disheartened yesterday. He was like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. And I said, well, son, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. But I finally got it figured out about 10 o'clock, and we got it straight. So everything's working as it should now, but there's a little bit of panic there.
A few things are running through my mind One is that if RF getting wild, as it will, given the environment you're providing, I would think ground is the best to bleed off that RF before it ever gets to the control circuits. And I mean a short, very inviting path to ground. What do you think of that idea?
No, I know what you're thinking, and it's not gonna work in this case. Because anything that you bleed away from, so you have a cathode and an electrode, a ground and a stinger. The stinger is where the voltage comes out, and the ground gets clamped to the part. If you bleed away any of that ground, especially with high frequency, a TIG machine, then your plasma stream starts doing just crazy stuff, which in turn messes with, when you mess with that plasma stream, you mess with how the weld is completed. Now, let me say this. Now, if you're trying to, you know, just bubble gum something together, then hey, you know, you probably can work through it. I wouldn't want to. It'd just be too aggravating. But you can't bleed any of that away. You just can't do it. I noticed this afternoon that this is really the first time I've done any welding with somebody in the machine shop. We normally do that in the welding shop. Today, when he was welding the LED lights in the shop were, and they weren't this little weird. I could see them pulse. When he's striking an arc, so there's a tremendous amount of RF coming off of that, or maybe not RF, but an electromagnetic something that's coming off of it, and it really messes with everything in the shop.
I guess I was being too simplistic. But I wasn't suggesting interfering with the ground in the working piece or near the working piece. Either, let me put it in another context, like a Faraday cage for the Arduino, or a combination of that and a grounded shield of metal sharing that same ground. With the Faraday cage, a grounded shield of metal to put additional shielding between the electronics and all of this RF. That's a unique, you know, you figure this out and you've got to write up a patent for it. However you solve this, this is quite a challenge. But I got faith in you, your dad, and your son to conquer this. 200 amps push through. Well, you just can't push it through a little wire. Oh my. Yeah. Do you know of anything similar to this being done any other place? You know, like the welding is done on the line at BMW. I'm not sure what kind of welding it is, but there's got to, if it induces RF, there's got to be some kind of shielding that they have providing for all of that you know, they do a good bit of that with robots, don't they?
Right. And it is basically Faraday. If you'll note, well, I have wondered in the past with, have you ever seen coax being used for low voltage, as a low voltage carrier? And if you think about it, it makes sense. And you let center conductor be your positive and the shield be negative. Now, you do that for low voltage stuff. Now, I don't know if you can get away with that with high voltage. But that's the way you have, after my lesson today, that's the way you have to handle that. And that can get pretty expensive pretty quick. Places like BMW and manufacturing plants, you know, they have the money to shield all of those PLCs and IC chips that control the robots. I don't have that resource. So what I learned today was that anything that has a silicone chip, that's a voltage regulator, that's a MOSFET, that's an optocoupler, that's a Arduino control IC chip. It's just not going to work with a welding machine. It's not going to do it unless you can shield it somehow. So, I was perplexed about this for, you know, about an hour this morning. And then came up and got a cup of coffee and thought about it for a minute.